It was a summer shower, but it was pouring rain as fast as a winter storm. Miss Perspicacia Tick sat in what little shelter a raggedy hedge could give her and explored the universe. "Yes," she said as rain poured off the rim of her hat. "A definite ripple in the walls of the world. Very worrying. There's probably another world making contact. I ought to go there. But, according to my left elbow, there's a witch there already."
"Let's go and see," said the voice.
"I can't barge in on another witch's territory. But witches don't just turn up out of nowhere. Let's have a look." She pulled a cracked saucer out of her pocket and tipped into it the rainwater that had collected on her hat. Then she took a bottle of ink out of another pocket and poured in just enough to turn the water black. She cupped it in her hands and listened to her eyes. Tiffany Aching was lying on her stomach by the river, tickling trout. A little way away, her brother Wentworth was messing around with a stick and almost certainly making himself sticky. There was a small part of Tiffany's brain that wasn't too certain about the name Tiffany. She was 9 years old and felt that Tiffany was going to be a hard name to live up to. Besides, she'd decided only last week that she wanted to be a witch when she grew up, and she was certain Tiffany just wouldn't work. People would laugh. As she thought this, she realised that the trout had swum away. But something else was in the water, only a few inches from her face. It was a round basket no bigger than half a coconut shell. A little man, only 6 inches high, was standing up in it. He had a mass of untidy red hair and a red beard. The rest of him, that wasn't covered with blue tattoos, was covered with a tiny kilt. And he was waving a fist at her and shouting,
"Crivens, gang away out of here, you daft wee henny! We're the gr—"
But there had been Achings farming it for hundreds of years. For as long as she could remember, Tiffany had heard her father make the joke, the one that must have been handed down from Aching to Aching for hundreds of years.
"Another day of work and I'm still aching." Or, "I get up aching and I go to bed aching."
There was no one around in the kitchen. Near the big black stove was the shelf that was still called Granny Aching's library by her mother. There were only 5 books on it. Tiffany stood on a chair and took down The Good Child's Book of Fairy Tales. She turned the pages until she found the one she was looking for and stared at it for a while. Then she put the book back, replaced the chair and unhooked the largest frying pan, the one that could cook breakfast for 6 people all at once. She took some sweets from the jar on the dresser and put them in an old paper bag. Then, to Wentworth's sullen bewilderment, she took him by a sticky hand and headed back down towards the stream. On the riverbank, she hammered a piece of wood into the ground and tied the bag of sweets to it.
"Sweeties, Wentworth!"
she shouted. Then she gripped the frying pan and stepped smartly behind a bush. Wentworth tried to pick up the bag of sweets. It wouldn't move. Tiffany watched the water carefully. Then she ran out of her hiding place with the frying pan swinging like a bat. The screaming monster, leaping out of the water, met the frying pan coming the other way with a clang. The creature hung there for a moment, then slid down slowly and sank. In the reeds, quite low down, small voices whispered,
"Crivens, wee Bobby, did you no see that? Aye, we'd better off ski and tell the big man we've found the hag."
Miss Tick was on the lower slopes of the downs.
"Impressive," said the voice. "She used her brother as bait."
"Amazing, wasn't it?" said Miss Tick as a wave of dizziness hit her.
"Oh, this wretched chalk. I don't really have much power on chalk."
A strange procession was coming up the white road. Donkeys pulled small carts with brightly painted covers on them. Men in robes walked alongside the carts, every one of them wearing a strange black square hat. Miss Tick smiled. "I can't do, but I can teach." At lunch, Tiffany's mother said,
"The teachers are coming to town today. You can have 6 carrots and an egg.
I dare say they could do with an egg, poor things. After lunch, Tiffany went to get an egg's worth of education. The teachers were useful. Bands of them wandered through the mountains, going from village to village, surviving on what food they could earn from giving lessons to anyone who'd listen. People were usually quite pleased to see them. They taught children enough to shut them up, which was the main thing after all. Today, the brightly coloured booths were pitched in a field just outside the village. The first tent Tiffany saw had a sign which said, "Geography. For today only, all the major landmasses and oceans. One penny or all major vegetables accepted." The next stall was decorated with scenes out of history, generally of kings cutting one another's heads off. She found what she was looking for at a booth hung with pictures of animals. The sign said, "Useful creatures. Today, our friend the hedgehog." She wondered how useful the thing in the river had been, but this looked like the only place to find out. A few children were waiting on the benches inside the booth for the lesson to begin, but the teacher was still standing out in front in the hope of filling up the empty spaces.
"I'd like to ask a question," said Tiffany.
"About any particular animal?"
"Jenny Greenteeth, a water-dwelling monster with big teeth and claws and eyes like soup plates."
"That's a puzzler," said the teacher.
He jerked his thumb towards a little tent at the end of the row.
"You could try her. She's new."
The tent was black and quite shabby. Inside, a skinny figure sat behind a small table, wearing a large black straw hat with paper flowers on it.
"Are you a witch?"
said Tiffany. "What a strange question to spring on someone," said the woman. "Why would I be a witch?"
"Well, the frog sitting on your hat is a bit of a clue," said Tiffany.
"I'm a toad, actually," said the creature.
"My name," said the woman, "is Miss Tick, and I am a witch. And you want to be a witch, am I right? You probably want to fly on a broomstick, yes?"
"Oh, yes."
"Well, a witch sees through things and round things. A witch would see Jenny Greenteeth. What happened?"
"How did you know I saw Jenny Greenteeth?"
"Yes."
"I think you heard brain sack as a sort of hood. Does that count?"
Possibly.
"Granny Aching would have done something about monsters in our river," said Tiffany.
"So she should," said Miss Tick. "Witches deal with things. You said the river was very shallow where Jenny leapt up, and the world looked blurred and shaky. Something bad is happening." Tiffany looked worried.
"Can I stop it?"
"Now I'm slightly impressed," said Miss Tick. "You said, can I stop it, not can anyone stop it. That's good. You accept responsibility. But no, you can't stop it."
"I walloped Jenny Greenteeth."
"Lucky hit," said Miss Tick. "There may be worse than her on the way, believe me. You keep clear. I'll try to fetch help."
"What, from the Baron?"
"Oh, good gracious, no. He'd be no use at all."
"Are there no witches here at all?"
Tiffany hesitated.
"There was old Mrs. Snappily. She lived all alone in a strange cottage. She died in the snow last winter. She was begging, but no one opened their doors to her, and it was a cold night, and she died."
"And she was a witch, was she?"
"Everyone said she was a witch," said Tiffany. "You see, the Baron had a son called Roland. He was only 12, and he went riding in the woods by himself last summer, and his dogs came back without him."
"And people think Mrs. Snappily killed him," said Miss Tick. She sighed. "They probably think she cooked him in the oven or something."
"Something like that, yes," said Tiffany. "And they came and turned her out of her cottage and piled all her books on the floor and set fire to them and burned the cottage down."
"And did Roland's horse turn up?" said Miss Tick.
"No,"
said Tiffany. "Mrs. Snappily must have had a really big oven, eh?"
"No," said Tiffany. "It was really quite small, only 10 inches deep."
"You measured the oven?" said Miss Tick, adding to herself, "What have I found here?"
"Well, yes. I mean, it was tiny. And if she could magic away a boy and a whole horse, why didn't she magic away the men who came to her looking for Roland? It didn't make any sense."
Miss Tick leaned forward. Let me guess what happened to Mrs. Snappily. She lived from the summer until the snow, right? She stole food from barns and probably women gave her food at the back door if the men weren't around. And she wasn't a witch, was she?
I think she was just a sick old lady, said Tiffany. Can't you teach me what I need to know to be a witch?
Tell me why you still want to be a witch, bearing in mind what happened to Mrs. Snappily.
So that sort of thing doesn't happen again, said Tiffany.
Good answer. You might make a decent witch one day. But I don't teach people to be witches. Witches learn in a special school. I just show them the way, if they're any good. And that will be one egg, please.
Tiffany handed over the egg.
Exactly where can I find the school?
Aha! A root vegetable question, I think, said Miss Tick. Two carrots, please.
Tiffany handed them over.
Thank you. To find the school for witches, go to a high place near here, climb to the top, open your eyes.
Miss Tick hesitated.
And then open your eyes again. Now, I have a question to ask you. Did you see anything else by the river, Tiffany?
Silence suddenly filled the tent as Tiffany and Miss Tick stared into one another's eyes.
No,
lied Tiffany. Miss Tick looked away.
I see.
She stood up.
Well, I must go. I hope we shall meet again. I will give you some free advice, though. Are you listening?
Yes.
Good. Now, if you trust in yourself and believe in your dreams and follow your star, you'll still get beaten by people who spent their time working hard and learning things and weren't so lazy. Goodbye.
As Tiffany headed home, she wondered if she should have mentioned the little red-haired men. She hadn't, for a whole lot of reasons. She wasn't sure now that she'd really seen them. She had a feeling that they wouldn't have wanted her to, and it was nice to have something Miss Tick didn't know. Yes, that was the best part. Miss Tick was a bit too clever, in Tiffany's opinion. Miss Tick removed her hat, reached inside, and pulled a piece of string. With little clicks and flapping noises, the hat took up the shape of a rather elderly straw hat. Then she said, "Phew!
You can't just let the kid go like that," said the toad, who was sitting on the table. "She's clearly got first sight and second thoughts. That's a powerful combination."
"She's a little know-it-all," said Miss Tick.
"Just like you, right? I rather liked her."
"So did I," said Miss Tick, briskly. "She hears about an old lady dying because these idiots thought she was a witch, and she decides to become a witch so that they don't try that again.
But a chalk witch? Witch is like hard rock all the way down. Do you know what chalk is? The shells of billions and billions of tiny sea creatures that died millions of years ago. Tiny, tiny bones, soft, soggy. But she's grown up on chalk and she's a born witch. Which is impossible."
"She bashed Jenny," said the toad. "The girl has got talent."
"Maybe, but she needs more than that. Jenny's one of a number of creatures invented by adults to scare children away from dangerous places. There'll be much, much worse than her."
"You ought to stay and help her," said the toad.
"I've got practically no power here," said Miss Tick. "I told you, it's the chalk. And remember the red-headed men. A Knack MacFeagle spoke to her, warned her. I've never seen one in my life. With them on her side, who knows what she can do? If it wasn't for the Knack MacFeagle, I'd be really worried. As it is, I'm going to try and get some help. That's going to take me at least 2 days without a broomstick."
"It's unfair to leave her alone with them," said the toad.
"She won't be alone," said Miss Tick. "She'll have you."
Tiffany shared a bedroom with Fastidia and Hannah. After they came to bed, she lay listening to the rain.
At some point, Ratbag the cat pushed open the door and jumped onto the bed. He was so fat that he gradually spread out in a great puddle of fur. He hated Tiffany, but would never let personal feelings get in the way of a warm place to sleep. Tiffany must have dozed off because she woke up when she heard the voices. They seemed very close, but somehow very small.
Is the bairn asleep? Aye, I canna hear her moving.
Tiffany opened her eyes in the darkness. She coughed loudly.
Oh, see,
said a voice.
You woke them up. I'm offsky.
Silence fell again, and after a while, Tiffany got out of bed, went downstairs in the dark, fished the book of fairy tales off Granny's shelf, then lifted the latch on the back door and stepped out into the warm midsummer night. There was only one place where it was possible for someone in a large family to be private, and that was in the privy. There was a candle in there which Tiffany lit. She made herself comfortable and flicked past page after page of the fairy tales, looking for the right picture. Then, there it was. Tiffany concentrated on the bottom left-hand corner. She'd seen it before, but you had to know where to look. It was definitely a little red-haired man, naked except for a kilt and a skinny waistcoat, scowling out of the picture. Hearing voices, she pushed the door open because a witch always listens to other people's conversations. The sound was coming from the other side of the hedge, where there was a field that should have been full of nothing but sheep.
Crivens, we want a cow beastie, no a ship beastie. Ugh, one's as goo as t'other. Come on, lads, and grab a hold of that leg. OK, lads, yan, tan, tevra.
A sheep rose a little in the air and bleated in alarm as it started to go across the field backwards and was carried away into the mist. Tiffany jumped up and pushed her way through the hedge. Granny Aching wouldn't have let anyone get away with stealing a sheep. But the mist was thick, and now Tiffany heard noises from the hen house. She ran through the garden and flung open the hen house door. The chickens were clucking excitedly, and one of them looked a bit embarrassed. Tiffany lifted it up. Underneath, there were two tiny, blue, red-haired men, each holding an egg clasped in their arms. They looked up with very guilty expressions.
Ach, no, said one. It's the hag. You're stealing our eggs, said Tiffany. How dare you? And I'm not a hag.
The little men looked at one another.
We crawled under yon chickie for a wee bitty warmth, said the first one. And there was all these things. We thought they was stones, so we took pity on the poor thing. Put the eggs back, said Tiffany.
They nudged each other.
Best do as she says. She dinged Jenny and no one had ever done that afore.
Both of the tiny men put the eggs back very carefully, and then they vanished. After breakfast, Tiffany ran out into the paddock and looked around. The mist was off the grass now, and skylarks were rising on the downs. She shouted at the sky.
If that sheep doesn't come back this minute, there will be a reckoning.
The sound bounced off the hills, and then she heard, very faint but close by, the sound of small voices.
The hag said there'd be a reckoning. Oh, wheelie, wheelie, we're in trouble now.
Tiffany glared around the field.
I know you can hear me, whoever you are. If that sheep doesn't come back, there will be trouble.
Trouble. Trouble.
Tiffany had to do some butter churning before she had any more time to herself. She quite liked churning butter. It gave her time to think. When I'm a witch with a pointy hat and a broomstick, she thought as she turned the handle, I'll wave my hand and the butter will come just like that. There was a slopping sound behind her, where she'd lined up six buckets to take to the well. One of them was now full of water. She went back to the churning as if nothing had happened. A few minutes later, there was another watery sound behind her. When she turned round, there was, yes, another full bucket.
And then, she said aloud, I'll have to fill the log box in the scullery.
She went back to the churning and didn't bother to turn her head when she heard four more sloshes behind her. nor did she look around when she heard the clatter of logs in the box. She only turned when the noise stopped. The log box was full up to the ceiling, and all the buckets were full. She stopped churning.
Thank you, she said. But what about our sheep? I won't believe you're really sorry until I see the sheep come back.
There was a bleating from the paddock. She ran out, and the sheep was coming back, backwards and at high speed. It jerked to a halt a little way from the hedge, and one of the little men appeared for a moment on its head. He huffed on a horn, polished it with his kilt, and vanished in a blur. When Tiffany got back to the dairy, the butter had been churned. Not just churned, but patted into a dozen fat golden oblongs. There was even a sprig of parsley on each.
Are they brownies? She thought. I think I need a whole egg's worth of education in a hurry.
Tiffany walked along the steep track down into the village. But when she got there, the tents had gone. Except for a few pieces of broken chalk, apple cores, and some stamped down grass, there was nothing at all to show that the teachers had ever been there. A small voice said, "Psst." She looked down. A toad crept out from under a dock leaf.
"Miss Tick said you'd be back. I expect there are some things you need to know, right?"
"Everything," said Tiffany. "We're swamped with tiny men. I can't understand half of what they say. They keep calling me a hag."
"Ah, yes," said the toad. "You've got Nac McFeagles, also known as Pixies. They call themselves the Wee Free Men."
"Did you say Pixies?"
"Not Pixies, Pixies."
"Well, they tried to steal some of our eggs and one of our sheep," she said. "But I got them back."
"You got something back from the Nac McFeagle?" said the toad.
"Yes, they even did the chores for me."
"The Feagle did chores?" said the toad. "They never do chores."
"What's going on, Toad?" said Tiffany.
The toad looked a bit shifty.
Miss Tick doesn't really want you to handle this. She'll be back soon with help."
"You'd better tell me what you know," said Tiffany. "Miss Tick isn't here. I am."
"Another world is colliding with this one," said the toad. "That's what Miss Tick thinks. All the monsters are coming back because there's no one to stop them."
There was silence for a moment.
"There's me," said Tiffany.
Tiffany and the toad returned to the farm.
"You haven't got a hat you can wear, have you?"
said the toad from her apron pocket.
"I hate not being able to see."
As Tiffany put the toad on the table as carefully as possible, she heard her mother hurrying down the path. She picked up the toad and put it back in her apron pocket just in time. The door was flung open.
"Where's Wentworth?"
said her mother.
"We can't find him. I only turned my back for a minute. Go and look in the house. Go on."
Mrs. Aching hurried away. Hastily, Tiffany put the toad on the floor and chivied him under the sink. She searched the house. After a few minutes, she heard her father say,
"Try down by the river."
"It's your fault." The thought felt like a piece of ice in her mind. "It's your fault because you didn't love him very much. He turned up and you weren't the youngest anymore, and you kept wishing, didn't you, that he'd go away?"